Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Great to be with you today. We're going to begin our broadcast by asking you a question. Number one, have you ever really stopped and listened to the beginning of this broadcast with the trumpet blast? Do you know that is an actual prophetic trumpet that is being blown, and it needs to be understood? The trumpet blasting, the message therein, it must be understood. So today we're going to spend some quality time going over the meaning of the introduction. And I believe for those of you that follow the broadcast from the beginning and hear that introduction, that you're going to be very blessed, because therein lies the answer to what we are supposed to be doing in a time like these. It was surprising to come back from South Dakota, which we're going to talk about in just a moment, and to turn on the news this morning and see the violence that is still erupting in Chicago, in Portland, and in different cities across America today. You know, when you're occupied doing the Lord's work and you're out there and you're ministering and you're staying away from the news and you're just not involved in any of that, you kind of just forget what's happening. And then all of a sudden you turn it on and, man, the stories are just getting more gruesome as the days pass away. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that. But I wanted to just let you know that we had an amazing time in South Dakota. But before I get into that, I want to share with you that this is, as you know, today is July 21st, 2020. And America continues down the path to perdition. The road to destruction has been paved for civilizations past, and America's refusal to repent and turn to God will lead to the proverbial ditch, wherein the blind leaders and the blind followers shall descend into. The causes we see being fought for today are not righteous causes. We know that all lives matter, and that blacks in America have advanced into the highest heights and have succeeded as much as, if not more, than many white people. So we do not believe that there is a genuine cause for racial equality or to end slavery. No, in fact, those issues are no longer true issues, but are being used for a diabolical plot to usher in the Luciferian one world government. It is a deep state communistic effort to shift the world and prepare it for the shining one, Lucifer. If America would have continued to exalt the great physician, Jesus Christ, all the wounds would have been healed and the bruises of our past mended. The great physician would have given the ointment of restoration and healing to mollify the pain. America could have marched forward into the new millennium with confidence and strength to lead the world to the glorious light of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. However, the light has dimmed. The eyes and minds of the masses have been blinded by the god of this world, Satan. Today, we are witnessing the soft reality of martial law. Yes, we are under a soft form of control that will lead to total control. And because people are awakening, there will be resistance. The resistance will bring great pain everywhere throughout this nation. And of course, these things are going on around the world. To that, there's no doubt. And there is a movement globally, because if we understand, when we look at things through the biblical lens, that the Bible says the Great Tribulation will be fraught with a government, a one world government that will control the nations of the earth, that's what we see. We're not giving any other view than the biblical view of the times that we are living in. And they are happening swiftly. Remember Isaiah 47:11, an evil comes from where you do not know. A mischief rises, you will not be able to put it off. We still have not put this off, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. But we can see the third wave rising, the sword of war, as resistance to this movement begins to take place. And we have seen the tones of it, even as traveling across the United States recently. So we are going to talk more about that as we go. But first of all, now, I need to just salute all the brethren in South Dakota. Ladies and gentlemen, Patricia and I returned yesterday. We had an amazing time in South Dakota. We met Pastor Dave and Victoria Obenauer. They have done a masterful job in their ministry. They had us working since the day we got there. We showed up, and the following day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we had an amazing time, from men's meetings to coffee shop meetings to house meetings, and the people came, and we had an amazing time. We truly did. Patricia and I were treated with great respect and honor. We were embraced by the body of Christ up there, and we embrace them as well. There is now a connection in South Dakota with our brothers and our sisters, and I believe these people are so hungry that being properly fed and thirsty, they're gonna accelerate. They're gonna go so fast, and they're gonna go so far, because they're just willing vessels. And the agreement that we found with them, the like-mindedness, was unbelievable. It was almost scary. We were seeing somewhat of we're looking in the mirror at ourselves in so many ways. Their wisdom and understanding, their passion, their love for Jesus Christ. Folks, it's amazing what God just did in South Dakota. And on Thursday, Pastor Dave is going to join me on the air, and he's going to give his take to what happened. I should have had him on today, but it was so quick. We just got back yesterday. But anyways, it was a terrific time. We were supremely blessed by the saints of God and by the work. I want to say thank you to Ken and Kathy Bruns, because Ken and Kathy were the forerunners in this. They are the ones that set everything up. They invited us to go, and we went, and they connected with Pastor Dave and Victoria, and it's there. It's a brotherhood. It's a sisterhood. It's an amazing thing that God did. You see, God put his signature all over it. And we began to see that God is setting another lighthouse in South Dakota. Pastor Dave and Victoria's ministry are surrounded by Masonic lodges, American legions, bars, civil buildings, all kinds of stuff is all around them. They're like Fort Apache in a sense, you know? And yet there they are ministering, and the people are coming, and the people are hungry. People came from Minnesota, Iowa. We met some dear saints of God. In fact, more doors of opportunity potentially opening in Minnesota and in Iowa. We'll be waiting for the call. Patricia and I are on assignment. We are ready to go. Our journey going out and starting home fellowships or gathering with the saints began in Tyler, Texas, because of our dear friend Sonia. Sonia and her husband Miguel opened their home to us. They gathered the saints. Our dear sister Scarlett and Don and Donna and Angelina and all the others, Dana, that came together and accepted us and embraced us down in Tyler, Texas. The whole Tyler, Texas group, at least a portion of that group, came up to Arkansas a couple of weeks ago and saw what we were doing. We have embraced the saints of God in Tyler. The saints of God in Tyler have embraced us. New Wine Ministry has already expanded, and we are seeing these different areas of these different regions. While we were traveling back, we have friends that are coming from California. There are people moving into Northwest Arkansas from Chicago, from Illinois. They are coming. God is moving his people strategically at this moment. And thank God there are people that are awakening like the Jews in Nazi Germany that understood the word of the Lord was you need to get out because something bad is ready to happen. And the people that had a heart to follow God wheresoever he leads ultimately made the decision to take everything they have, sell it, convert it into diamonds, sew the diamonds into their clothing, get on ships and planes, and they got out. And they started a brand new life in another place. And there were others that waited for the last moment. You've heard the story. And while they just lingered a little bit, kind of like Lot and his family, they lingered and then finally had to flee with what they had on their backs. They didn't have a lot of time, but they did get out before the destruction came. And unfortunately, at least 6 million Jews, as we understand it, did not heed the call and the warning and were trapped and went to the concentration camps. But even therein, God had his glory manifesting, even in that horrible, horrible situation. But there are people that have heard the prophetic word, and they really immediately did not take heed to it. Others left way early and started preparing and getting out of the cities of America. There was a forewarning, get out of highly, where lots of people are dwelling and get to this more suburban areas, get outside. And people did it. It was uncomfortable. People left their homes, their schools, their friends, their environment. People left things. And they had to, but it was okay because they heard the voice of the great shepherd. And now years have gone by, and many people who had come out are resting and relaxing and enjoying an abundant life in the place that God has prepared for them. They find themselves in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. And now they are even experiencing the need to quicken their pace and get ready. Make sure they're going over all that they've prepared. Make sure everything's working properly. Get some final projects done. There's an awakening that is happening. And we know that people are going to be pouring into the different cities that God has been preparing for a refuge like a Goshen. And so we are congratulating the saints of God who are awake, who are willing to give up what they have labored for and to bring transition and change following the Holy Spirit. But again, South Dakota, God bless you. Minnesota, God bless you. Iowa, God bless you. I hope that I'll be meeting with a pastor from Iowa, from New Jersey, which is a really good connection. And I, being from New Jersey, I'm looking forward to meeting with the pastor from Iowa. And Patricia and I were invited out there. Patricia did an amazing job in the women's meeting on Saturday. And you could tell when all us men walked back in, we were meeting in the house, and they were in a coffee shop. When we walked back in, they were still in prayer and there was still work going on. It was an amazing time. And one brother from Iowa said, "Sister, you need to come to Iowa and you need to share and impart as well." So we did have an amazing time and the work did commence. Now, there's some other things that I'm not going to release right now at this very moment. I may in 5 minutes, but not right now, that God is doing and that God is allowing for us to get involved with. So to our friends in Tyler, Texas, we have not forgotten you, and I know you have not forgotten us. What we need to do is start praying about the next step. What is it that this is all about? Something began out of basically just God himself. Everything that is happening came from God, not from a man's imagination, not from a man's will. We absolutely have zero desire just to go out and do things because we feel like we need to do something. No, it's not that at all. Everything that is happening in Tyler, in South Dakota, has come out from God. We came on being very much led by the Holy Spirit. We haven't done this basically since the 1990s, where we have made ourselves available to come out with the ministry that God has given us and put in us, the message, and to bring it and share it wherever there were God's people wanting to hear. So let me say it this way. While South Dakota and Tyler and New Wine Ministries in Northwest Arkansas are going to be gathering together. Now listen, in Tyler, Texas, South Dakota, we here in Northwest Arkansas, we're all ready to go to Israel for the Feast of Tabernacles. Because of COVID-19 debacle, we're not going. We are going to do what we have done for over 30 years. We are going to be hosting the Feast of Tabernacles 2020 right here in Northwest Arkansas. We've been doing it in Northwest Arkansas for 11 years. We did it for 19 years in Southern California. We have hosted it. We have the land. We have the property. We'll be getting the tents. We have the barbecues. We are going to have a massive ingathering of God's people. South Dakota, you are invited. Minnesota, you are invited. Iowa, you are invited. Tyler, Texas, you are invited. Saints of God, wherever you are listening, put it on your calendar, and I'll get the exact dates for the Feast of Tabernacles. I believe it's October 2nd this year. I'm not sure. But what we do and what we have done for 30 years is we gather together. We have the place. God has given us the place. That's really important. And we will invite people to come. And all the different tribes will bring all their differences, because these feasts of the Lord are not just under the law, so to speak. They existed before there was ever a Mosaic law, and they will exist into the millennial kingdom. We have discovered that scripturally and biblically. So I just want you to put it on your calendar, the Feast of Tabernacles, Northwest Arkansas. New Wine Ministries will be hosting once again the Feast of Tabernacles. But we are expecting that God, in his heart and his mind, for the Feast of Tabernacles, he gathered all the people. He said, come from wherever you are into a place that God has chosen and celebrate the feast. So put it on your calendar. Get ready your plans. Take that week off. We celebrate for about 8 days where we are up on the ark. There are RV pads. There are tent sites. If you want to camp out in a tent, you can do that. There are hotels all throughout Northwest Arkansas. You start doing that right away. We'll start working with some hotels. But South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, New York, Tyler, Texas, and wherever else, Colorado, you are, California, Michigan, all of you folks out there, put it on your calendar to honor the Lord for the Feast of Tabernacles. Honor the Lord in his feast. It is an appointed time in the economy of God before man was ever on this earth. God put the sun, moon, and stars for signs and seasons. The word seasons is the moed, and it literally talks about appointed feasts. God has appointed these feasts for a reason. He gave it to creation, to mankind. He gave it to Israel, and he's given it to the ecclesia. All of God's people are gathering together. They should be, if they understood the biblical mandate, the call of God, the celebratory spirit, and the ingathering. There's wisdom to it. So again, we'll be talking much more about that as we go. And what I wanted to also say is that Patricia and I are ready. We are prepared. If you are listening to this radio broadcast and God is moving in your spirit and you would like to have Patricia and I come to your part of the country, mainly, I mean, there are people that are listening in New Zealand, Australia, Germany. I know Daniel Seckham has told us one day we're going to be going to his church in Australia. I can't wait for that trip to actually take place where we will be traveling abroad. But right now, while we have light, we are working. We're not in. We know that Satan likes to delay, deceive, and distract. So we don't want any delays, no deception, no distraction. Now, what we have just seen happen in Tyler, Texas, and in South Dakota, God has just reinforced his resources, the resources of prayer, the resources of fasting, more people that are tuned into the Holy Spirit that can have a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom to bring guidance and direction. Yes, these are the spiritual resources of the Lord. So that we're just not a small church in Northwest Arkansas, which has been fabulous because people are tuned into the Holy Spirit, but we know that God has just increased us. God has expanded us with more revelation, wisdom, knowledge that are in the people that love God in Tyler, South Dakota. And as we begin to communicate the word of the Lord, we will begin to find out what he wants us to do. We will continue to press in. We will continue to pray. We will continue to fast. We will continue to be on assignment. But right now is the season, and we are ready and willing to go. So if you are ready for Patricia and I to come to your region like we did in Tyler, like we did in South Dakota, you will hear the testimonies. It was a God work. And if it's time for you, if you believe God wants us to come, you have a few people in your neighborhood or in your church that would like to have us come and impart to complement what God has already given you, we are willing and we are ready. We are on assignment right now. We're so glad to be back in Northwest Arkansas. And tomorrow night, we're going to be meeting with our fellowship. And Saturday and Sunday, we will be meeting with our church. And Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, we will be back with our family, being refueled and refreshed. You know, we too need to get fed, and we too need to be watered. And the way that Patricia and I are fed and watered is by the fellowship that we have with the saints of God. Because of their love, because of their acceptance of who we are, that's how we are refreshed. That's how we are blessed. So we are ready to go, folks. And if you want us to go, God is doing it. We will wait for your invitation. I can give you some information about the RV. I noticed the last couple of weeks that there has been a real slowing down of people that were giving into the ministry. And I was talking about the RV particularly, but I want you to know that God is good. I want you to know that God is good. And for those of you that do support this ministry, the way that you do, when you do, God bless you. But I want you to know that God has afforded an opportunity. Today, after this radio broadcast, we are going to be heading over to look at an RV. We are going to be watching how systems work within an RV. And after that, I will explain to you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow, Lord willing, talk with you about that particular movement. I believe that God is providing an RV for Patricia and I to be able to go out. We stayed in a hotel. It cost about $400 for the hotel, and we went out to eat a couple of times and did that. I believe the RV will become our traveling home, and when we come back to Arkansas, we're going to have a place to stay. There is an RV. As I said, it is a 2006 Dolphin. It has 26,000 miles on it. It has an Allison transmission. The owners of it are very cool people. We met them, we believe, in a divine appointment at a Walmart shopping center in Jane, Missouri. We noted the beautiful coach, and I drove by. The man just walked out, and I said, "What a beautiful coach." And he started talking to me like we knew each other for a long time. I wound up going into the coach, looking around at it, and he said, "I'd like to do this. I would probably be willing to get this, you know, sell this for $35,000. And I thought, wow, a 2006 with two slide outs for $35,000 with 26,000 miles on it, that's a pretty good deal. We have test-driven it already. We have been in it a number of times before we went to South Dakota. And today we're going to go. He's going to hook it up to an RV park, and he's going to show how the water systems work, the electrical systems. We're going to go through all that this afternoon. And so we are marching towards that moment of having an RV, which again puts us on assignment to be able to go. We drove our vehicle up to South Dakota, and that was perfect. Everything was fine there. But I believe that God has provided this opportunity to be in the RV. It's a gas engine, and I think it's like 50 gallons. So you could probably get maybe 400 to 500 miles per fill up. So overall, the gasoline that you spend to move from one place to another, you have your own meals, your lunch, your breakfast, your dinner is all there. And you don't need to stay in other people's homes or hotels. It becomes your home. And when you come back from a trip, you don't have to lug your luggage. It's all self-contained. So we're excited about that. And I think it's time to just move on. I have a note here. We are currently working on an infrastructure issue that is preventing broadcast from the live streaming. The content will still be available for archives use. So let me just find out. Have we lost connection with our friends on Blog Talk Radio? Let me just get back here. For Facebook, YouTube, are you all hearing us still? Can you give me a little shout out if you could still hear us? That would be correct. And if you are hearing us on Blog Talk Radio, let me just say hello here. Maybe we have this coming in. Facebook, YouTube, are we still there? Let me say hello to Phil. I believe it is. Good morning, Phil. Are you hearing us okay?
I hear you.
Okay. All right. So let me get back here. Phil's not answering me. Let me talk to 479-903. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay, baby. Thank you. Hello, George. Is that you, sir?
Yes, sir. Pastor.
And we're coming through.
Praise
we're coming
the Lord.
Through. All right. We're coming through loud and clear?
Yes.
Awesome.
Up here in northern Wisconsin.
All the way in Wisconsin. We were so close to being able to come by and see you. And I'm also seeing that on YouTube and Facebook. We're being heard as well. So whatever that sign is on there, we got through it. All right, George, how are you doing, sir? What do you think about all this activity going on?
Well, I think it's time in action, and the time is slipping by real fast, and we need you need to. I just how the Lord Jesus Christ and that the networking that is taking place is so important for the times that are ahead of us with the networking with all around the country, these small groups, because we will be needing that networking. And I just praise the Lord that that is happening.
Yeah. Amen, George. It's been an amazing journey. And here we go. Here we go. Well, God bless you, my friend. Shalom to you, George.
Shalom. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And pass the ammunition.
Amen.
No doubt about that. All right. So we're coming through. I don't know what this working infrastructure thing is. Let me just say hello to some of our friends right now on YouTube and on Facebook. Ian Rood says, good morning, Pastor Vince. Good to have you back on the air. It's good to be back on the air. Ian, can't wait to see you very soon. Hopefully today, if you have a chance, I might need your help up on the ARC. I've got to move one RV out of the way because we're marching toward in faith. Okay. I'll talk to you more about that. Vinny Pots and Pans. Good morning, Vincenzo and Saints. Good morning, Vinny. God bless you. Trust you're doing well. Waiting for that invitation to come to New York. Maybe. What do you think? You let me know. All right. Keith Carey. Welcome back, Pastor Vince. Excited to hear about the RV in South Dakota. Keith, it was absolutely amazing. And when Pastor Dave joins me on Thursday, I believe you're going to hear the witness and the confirmation. What great fruit came from that trip. Phil is saying, good morning, Pastor Vince. Welcome back. It's good to be back. Phil, Sonia, good morning and shalom, Pastor Vincent and Saints. God bless you all. Sonia, God bless you. You were the first fruits of this movement. I mean, think about that. The first fruits of a call in our heart to go out and to gather together and to meet with the saints. Sonia, you were the first. God bless you. God bless you richly, and God bless you deeply for what you did in Tyler, Texas, bringing all your friends together. All right, so here we go. Cindy, good morning. Pastor Vince, good morning. Cindy, can't wait to see you. It's almost time for another haircut. We'll talk about that. God bless you. All right. And Sean Hobeck's on the air with us today. Sean, hola, hola to you and to your mother, Carmen. God bless you. Shan Lewis, welcome back. Good morning. Y'all have been missed. Well, it's been a missing for us too. Genuinely, it has, Shan. Thanks for welcoming us back home. We're hearing also from Sonia saying amen, loving hearing about the South Dakota family. Emily Simonson. Emily says, good morning, Pastor Vince. Hello from South Dakota. Hello, Emily. I know, Emily. Good to see you. God bless you. We loved having you and your wife this past weekend. We loved having you as well, and it was an awesome connection, Emily, and I trust that God's going to do great things in your life. God bless you. David Ellison saying, David and Nicole here, welcome back. Love and miss you guys. Welcome back, Dave. Thank you. You're awesome, man. Thank you for your prayers. Vinny Pots and Pans is saying, hey, I have learned the word corona. If you tally up each letter to where it sits numerically in the alphabet, IEC equals 3, and so on, it totals 66. And add the 6 for the letters in corona, 666. Wow, that's amazing. We need to talk about that, Vinny. No doubt about it. I'm seeing Donna Fraser is here. We love you, Vincent and Patricia, all of our brothers and sisters in America. Hallelujah, we are not alone. No, we are not. Donna, we are not alone. And wait till you meet the saints in South Dakota, and wait till the saints meet the saints in Tyler, and wait till all y'all meet us in Northwest Arkansas. Oh, my God, I just said y'all. But anyways, here we go. Things really changed. Vinny Pots and Pans saying, and how's about all these celebrities like Tom Hanks who are facing the pedophile charges from the government? Wow, we need to talk about that. We've been out of the loop for a few days. I'm sure it's going to be manifesting everywhere. The cover's being ripped off. Praise the Lord. Here we go. What else do we have here? River of Fire Ministries on YouTube. Yes. Well, River of Fire Ministries, that's Pastor Dave and Victoria. God bless you, David and Victoria. By the way, Thursday, I'm hoping that Pastor David and Victoria will share their new Blog Talk Radio, their new Facebook and YouTube channel. They're going to be ministering at 8 p.m., I think it is. They're going to tell us more about it on Thursday so that y'all can get over there and meet them as well. We'll see them again on Thursday. I'm seeing a dear sister, Kim from Colorado. Kim, good morning to you. Well, how did she say it? Kim, last Feast of Tabernacles, you brought that song to us about the wedding, the bride and the bridegroom. What was that? Yah. I love the way that Kim expressed her worship to Yahweh. God bless you, Kim. Looking forward to seeing you. Hopefully Colorado will be joining us again for the Feast of Tabernacles. all right. So the River of Fire Ministries, Facebook cannot find. Go to the Omega Radio Network on Facebook, Omega Radio Network, and see if you can't find us that way. We should be broadcasting live right now. And then, of course, Brother Ken Wagner, Pastor Ken, is listening to us on YouTube right now and watching us. Kathy Bruns, who started everything up in South Dakota, it was great to have you and Patricia here in South Dakota. Much was done in the lives of the people that attend the meetings. Love you all. Thank you for that blessing, Kathy and Ken. You guys are awesome, and thank you for what you did. Ian Rude, I'm in the office, Pastor. If we can do it Wednesday, I'm all over it. Okay, well, very good. Maybe Wednesday. I'll get up there today and see what I can get done. Praise God. Loved hearing y'all, Pastor Vince from Sonia. Where did you hear us, Sonia? Kim is singing a song all about a bridegroom. It's all about a bride. What a great song that was. All right, River of Life, got it. So again, it's good to see everybody. It's good that we're out there. We need to shift a little bit. We were talking about something that came into my mind. I wanted to make a couple of minor absolutes here. Understand something that's happening in our country, okay? And this was not getting this from somebody else. Never heard this. The Holy Spirit, while we were in South Dakota, dropped this into my spirit. We are witnessing the four winds or the soft martial law. All over this country, people are being told by their governments, for the most part, you wear those masks, you social distance, you cannot buy or sell in a store, you cannot shop without your mask. Listen to the tones of this. It is very soft martial law. Okay? You cannot buy in a store if you don't wear your mask. That ought to put the shivers in some people's lives to see that God is giving you wisdom to know that a day is coming that you will not be able to buy or sell without the mark of the beast. Now, I don't think it's a mask, although it is around your forehead. But folks, how much more warning do we need? I told Patricia, I want you to go to Sam's Club and I want you to buy as much as you possibly can so that we don't have to subject ourselves to putting a mask on. We don't need to go to restaurants. We don't need to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner in a restaurant if that's the way it's going to be. We need to learn right now how to allow ourselves to bypass the public announcements of what we're supposed to do if it doesn't line up with God. Personally, I have no personal problem wearing a mask. When we got home yesterday, someone said that all the businesses, you needed to wear a mask. I went into our store because we needed some stuff. I had one available. I did not put it on. I went through the whole shopping thing and not wearing it because I don't believe. I'm not going to be led by fear, but I'm not also being led in a rebellious spirit with pride or cavalier either. I just believe the word of God, and so do you. But if it comes to the place where you can't, you know, you need to start learning how to get ready, because what happens when this thing comes in the fall, perhaps? Martial law comes in a stronger way. Why? Because the resistance to the rules, what also is happening in our country, not only are we witnessing the soft beginnings of martial law control, and we know it's going to go into a deeper, greater control, but you also have an awakening, and people are going to start resisting, and the resistance is going to bring war. It's going to bring violence. It's going to happen. We're only at July 21st. I'm sensing that before we get out of July, we're going to see another event. I don't know what it will be. And again, this is just me in my time of contemplation and praying, not wanting. And I want to make something very clear right now. If it were a choice, if I had a choice before God, And God said, Vincent, you can enter into a life and all this could go away. All this could go away. Everything comes back to the way it was. And you, Vincent, could go out and just do something and live out your days and continue to preach the word of God and the gospel and the kingdom. Encourage the saints of God. If it could all go away, do you want that? And I answer it in this manner. I want peace. I'm not happy about wearing masks. I'm not happy about social distancing. I'm not happy about all of that. I don't like the violence that I see in the cities. I don't like the burning of vehicles and businesses and the broken windows and looking at Chicago yesterday, where the people are throwing bottles at the police, ambushing them over at the Christopher Columbus statue. I don't like the fact that people are being shot and killed from 5 years old and up. I don't like the agenda that I see. No, I don't like that. I don't want that. I don't want to be a part of that. And if it could all just go away and everything be normal, well, in that sense, yeah, I don't want the negative stuff. But do I want to just continue to live in the silence of allowing continued abortion and homosexuality and pornography and perversion and disruption and depression. You know, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ right now that are suffering. I don't know if you've known it or not, but there are a lot of Christians that still have not dealt with the generational bloodline curses in their lives and are suffering from the buffeting of the devil. There are a lot of people being buffeted. They are still depressed and oppressed and vexed by the devil. And there's a massive undertaking and a work in the body of Christ that needs to take place. And I don't know what the pastors are doing, allowing their people to continue in this stuff without really going after it and dealing with it. I don't understand. Now, I did hear from Pastor Dave that there are people coming down to their ministry for 2 hours, and it broke his heart that there was no pastor from Minnesota to South Dakota that could be pastoring the people. What's that all about? Minnesota, we're waiting for your invitation, by the way, and we're going to network with all the different resources from Tyler and from South Dakota and Northwest Arkansas. If there's a hungry people and thirsty and a people that want help, we're going to send it. And we're going to go there and we're going to do what God allows us to do. Too many people are hurting. No, I don't want the country to continue in the blasphemy of pedophile islands and the corrupt leadership and the communistic left. No. They're just manifesting what they've been waiting for a long time. So the inconvenience right now of preparing and getting ready and living, that's okay. As long as it leads to, ultimately, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, which cannot take place until the falling away takes place and the man of sin be revealed, Lucifer, he's coming. If that has to happen, okay. The question is, do we believe that we're in that time? What are you witnessing today? Soft martial law, preparing people to capitulate. You can't buy without your mask. You can't go into a store. Very soft, very relaxed, nonetheless present. Okay? So what do we expect? I want to throw this out there. The Bible clearly states that near the beginning of the Great Tribulation, now listen, the Bible is clear on this issue that at the beginning, as we begin to come near to the Great Tribulation, we're moving towards it right now. The book of Revelation makes it very clear that the beginning of sorrows has begun. The horses have left the gates. The winds are being held and maybe even in the process of being loosed right now, but it's all moving towards the Great Tribulation. And I believe this is a very clear reality and picture from the book of Revelation, right? So as we near the beginning of the Great Tribulation, the devil, the Bible says, will be cast onto the earth. And we're told that he will have great fury, knowing he has but a short time until his doom. He happens to know that he has a short time. It is this time, when he comes, that we are needing to address. Due to the fact that most are not prepared, and even more terrifying, that the majority of Christians do not believe they will be on the earth at the arrival of the Antichrist, who is none other than Lucifer, okay? We have to address the issue. And I want to just put it this way. If a furious devil is coming out of the second heaven and being thrust onto the earth, and he's furious, what kind of a government is he going to operate through? He is going to operate through a furious government, a government that is likened unto Nazi Germany, Russia. Let's go a little bit deeper. Let's talk about the furious powers of China, the furious powers of North Korea. that the people that live there know a little bit more about it? The Christians in China are experiencing persecution? Or maybe the furiousness of Islamic government in North Africa or Nigeria or in Syria? What about the Islamic government, the Sharia law? What about the furiousness against where you see villages burned to the ground and people's charred bodies by the hundreds being piled up? People leaving with nothing, dragging their children behind them if they're left. Come on. What kind of a government is Lucifer going to operate in? A government that is antagonistic against God, which would be communism. A government that is antagonistic against Christianity, which is Islamic. Allah has no son. So what kind of government will the spirit of the devil be operating in? A furious government. Now, if you think that the Nazis were furious against the Jews, then you begin to get an understanding of what kind of government system is preparing. It's being built, it's manifesting, it's growing around the world, and it won't take much to bring it about. But first, there has to be an end to government systems that have been in place for a long time. One of our congressmen that I spoke to personally told me when I was warning them about what was coming, he said, "I trust the system." And I said to him, "If the system lasts, the systems of our nation and around the world are being contested right now. Defund the police. Wait till the economic imbalance comes. Wait till the sword of war in the next few days, whatever those days may be, is unsheathed. And we see the resistance and the war begin and the famine begin and the looting and the rioting and Katrina times a thousand and people leaving the burnt cities because of the nuclear devices or dirty bombs or the crockpot bombs that will bring martial law to those cities. The powder keg is now ready to blow. The wick has been lit, and it's been lit for a very long time, and it's near the powder keg. It's ready to blow. A great strike against the heart of the United States of America is at hand. Is that heart Washington, D.C.? I don't know. But do you see it going away? Do you see everything coming back to normal, kids going back to school, Antifa going away again, Black Lives Matter going away, police coming back to normality, everything coming back saying, okay, well, we just had an incredible summer of violence, which we said, by the grace of God, there would be a summer of violence. We believe Amos chapter 8 is the prophecy. So what kind of a government? I need to express this. I want to hear from you. Can you imagine a government under the rawest Islamic and communistic force? I'm talking about the bloody revolution, communism, that fights against anything that stands in its way, anything involving God or Jesus or religion. Couple that with an Islamic force that hates Christians and Jews. And you say, well, wait a second. Communism believes in no God. Islam believes in Allah. But throughout history, these forces have joined together against a common enemy. Remember, the beast has seven heads of power and 10 horns. The government, the beast is a government. It is a system. And it will release its fury. Are you and I ready for that? And we can't dance around the issue, and we can't footsie around. Now, I have an answer. I want you to know I have an answer for you. I want to talk about it. But I want to ask you, are we on track here? Are we fear-mongering? Are we being dramatic? Or are we witnessing what we're saying coming to pass? It's on the way. Angelina Perez says, we will not have a sense of normalcy until Yeshua is on the throne. Boy, do you have that right, Angelina. Normalcy is going. It will never be the same. No one is putting off what we are in right now. Sudden destruction is on the horizon. It's coming. You'll see. You will see. Shan says, when we are challenged by whatever blackout is to come, we must have rely faithfully on the word of God. Yes, whatever blackout is coming, whether Dana, Pastor Dana, saw the fist of God strike the calendar in the month of November, and when you strike something as hard as he saw, that's a lights out punch. Lights out, we've warned about. Again, Amos chapter 8. Shan Lewis all said, our pastors have cowered in Western Washington. Listen to this. Now, this is from Shan from Washington. She says, our pastors have cowered in Western Washington. I feel parched. Hallelujah for the Father's guidance to voices like yours online. Thank you. And sadly, even those voices are small in quantity. I think you're right, but they're going to start rising because we're meeting with the saints. Shan, and I'll tell you what, Shan, you gather the people. If God tells you to stay there, if God tells you to stay there, and there's a time to gather, you let us know. We'll make the journey. As a matter of fact, I met a brother who's been, I knew him years ago, and I'm not going to get any information out right now, but I'm going to have him with me at one point, and we're going to chat. He just called from that area as well, Washington, on our way back home. And I tell you what, the information this man has is pretty amazing, pretty amazing. Ex-Green Beret, military power, has been involved in a lot of stuff. Very patriotic, but he saw some things. So let's go. Michael John is asking, do you think they will accept it if you wear a clay mask? I don't know, Michael, if a clay mask is going to work or not. So let's get back to focus here for just a moment. A furious devil being cast onto the earth, operating through a furious government. Now, Jesus said it this way, that the tribulation in the last days will be greater than at any other time before it, and it will never exist again. The final end time great tribulation. There have been tribulations throughout the history of the world, many tribulations. But Jesus referred to the final and great tribulation of these last days. Now, if it's going to be worse than any other time in the history of the world, what are you expecting? Now, if you're getting afraid of what we're saying, then you have not yet learned the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the wisdom you will gain and I will gain from the fear of the Lord is direction and guidance and to be led into Goshen, to be led into a city of refuge, to go to a prepared place, to allow the eagle's wings to lift up a people and take her into a place that God has prepared for 3.5 years. I don't know how you feel about going into the wilderness for 3.5 years, but I believe it's got to be better than anything else going on in the planet if God has prepared it. But are you willing to go? See, Lot's wife, she really loved her environment. Even though it was quacky, she built her life there. Women are nesters. And she kept looking back. And because she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt. Because Lot lingered, he went out with nothing, had to go into the mountains, and things got really bad for him and his two daughters, as you know the story. So what is the answer for today? What is the real answer? Ken Wagner is saying on YouTube, he says, I walked into AT&T yesterday in Northwest Arkansas without a mask, and they refused to serve me. Same in Sam's Club and Walmart. You see, he couldn't do business without a mask. Thank you for sharing that, Pastor Ken. So, I see Kevin Honeycutt. Good morning, Pastor Vincent from East Tennessee. We're listening. Hey, Pastor Kevin, God bless you. You all remember Pastor Kevin was with me last week. We're going to have him back on one of our broadcasts. Pastor Kevin, man, we're hearing it. We're looking forward to a journey to Tennessee one day to meet with you. God bless you, sir, and having you come with us. Even as David and Victoria, Pastor Dave and Victoria, they got to feel the draw, man, coming into Northwest Arkansas as well. So I like David Ellefson's strength. He says, we release chariots of God into the midst of enemy encampments mounted against our life, family, business, and calling in the name of Jesus. I like it. He says the pursuers will become the pursued as the vengeance of God is engaged on our behalf. And David, you know what I love about that? What you're talking about is on the behalf of God's people, not America. Not America. I'm not anti-American, but I will tell you that America has sinned grievously against the Lord, and it should not expect God's protection, God's resources. The only thing a blasphemous America and a people that have allowed it to be can expect is the righteous judgment of God. People may not like that. I believe it's true. I believe it's God's character, God's word. It's the way he operates. America should expect nothing of God's provision. Does he want to heal? Absolutely. Go back to Isaiah chapter 1, and again, you'll understand why God wanted to heal Israel. But he said, why do I even punish you anymore? You have a revolting heart. And so now comes the judgment. That's what's happening right now. But as far as the chariots of God on our behalf, amen 1,000 times. Amen 1,000 times. Whew. David says, Springfield, Missouri, you get a $500 fine for no masks. $500 for not wearing a mask? Soft martial law. You're in it. Soft martial law. So what is Scarlett? Hold on. I can't go anywhere till Sister Scarlett shares. She says Psalm 113. No, Scarlett's bringing Psalm 11, 3 and 4. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Yah is on his holy throne in his holy temple. I'm so glad you asked that question, Sister Scarlett, because I have an answer. I don't know if anybody's going to like the answer, but I believe it's an answer. It's a spiritual answer. It's a spiritual answer. And you have to be spiritually minded to receive it. But if you're ready, I'm ready. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt is saying Nashville, Tennessee, issuing $50 fine for not wearing a mask in public. Yes, he observes the sons of men. His eyes examine them. Yes, the eyes of the Lord are examining the wicked. He's also examining the righteous. Hallelujah. I love it. Now, what could the possible answer be for you and I? Okay, we've just heard that a furious devil is going to take over a furious government and for 3.5 years is going to persecute and come against everything that is called God, against everything that belongs to God, those who keep the commandments of God and those who have the testimony and faith of Jesus Christ. So we're seeing it happen. The war in the heavenlies, Satan will come to this earth. Everything else is lining up in Bible prophecy. It's all lining up. The world stage is being set. There is a government that's going to manifest, and it's not going to be the capitalistic republic democracy of the United States of America. It's going to fall. We are in the battle, and we're going to fight, and there's going to be a war. But it's going to collapse because of the weight of our guilt and our sin. And because we have refused the gift of repentance, there can be no expectation of sovereign interaction. It can't happen. To expect that is a false hope. So what do I do? Where do I go? I get my food, I get my water, I prepare. I prepare to get out of the way, fine. But the spiritual atmosphere is going to be deep darkness. The Bible calls it gross darkness. Where then will I find the glorious light? How will I survive internally. Corrie Ten Boom went into the concentration camps, but she survived internally. What is the hope of God's children? Most of us would say, I don't want to go to a concentration camp under a hostile government like Nazi Germany on steroids. I don't want to be forced into a labor camp. None of us do. And some of us won't be. It's just going to happen because God is going to protect some of his kids. He's going to allow a whole bunch to go into the Great Tribulation. He's going to allow it, just like he allowed the Jews to go into Nazi Germany. He's going to allow it, just like he's allowed his kids for 2,000 years to go into the Roman Colosseums, the Ukrainian Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, the Inquisitions. I mean, on down the list, the Crusades. He's going to allow it. And you cannot think any otherwise. And if you've lived a life pleasing to the Lord, then you have changed intrinsically, internally. Something has shifted on the inside of you that whether you live or die, whether you are exempt from the Great Tribulation, like the church in Philadelphia and like the 144,000, and there's some other wise virgins, there are those that are going to be able to be navigated that are not going to be hit by what's coming. And it will be a supernatural work of God, not just what we've done to prepare. So what is it? I'm going to share it with you, and some of you are going to think, well, I don't know. But some of you are going to hear what I believe the Spirit of God is saying to the churches today. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to read the plan to you. And it's going to take me about 15 to 20 minutes. Do you have an ear to hear? Will you hear? And I know that there's a law in radio and television. Never read. But I need to. I mean, I could speak from my heart, but I believe that 15 minutes of reading just a little bit of God's plan will help you. I'm not concerned about evil people listening. I'm not concerned about the wicked hearing, because they will never understand. The wicked will never understand. Evil people will never understand. But the righteous will understand. I'm going to share with you the answer, the biblical answer. We could chat about it. And you're right, it is the promises of God. But I'm going to show you a little book here. All right, that is the book. Pastor Vincent Xavier. I wrote this little booklet back over the years since 1998. I was involved in a divine move of the Holy Spirit. And I had a revelation given to me, and I'm going to read to you. You ready? Here we go. I'm going to let the book speak for itself. What is the third day? To answer that question, I would like to say what it is not. It is not a formula or a cleverly conceived doctrine. It is not a new gimmick on the market to make more money. Nor is it a separatist view creating further divisions within the Church of Jesus Christ. The third day is an appointed season. That's it. It is what is called in Ephesians 1:10, the dispensation of the fullness of times. The actual meaning of that phrase is a kairos moment. We all know today what a kairos moment is. It is a time wherein all of the economy of God is centered and concentrated into one glorious opportunity for advancement into kingdom purposes. The third day is a prophetic pattern for the church today. It is a picture of what is available to anyone who would dare take the journey from the known and familiar into the unknown and unfamiliar. It is a place in the spirit that calls from the other side of knowledge into experience. The third day is a new day, a new land that beckons all pioneers to come and take hold of it and possess it. The third day is a spiritual reality that exists in the here and now and anticipates its fulfillment, expression, and manifestation into what we call the natural realm. When we speak of the third day, we speak of a time, a place, and a system that is altogether different from the one we have always known. Indeed, it is a day for all pioneers and explorers to equip themselves for the journey ahead. This day demands a coming out of what is known, accepted, and relied upon. It challenges man in his deepest parts and says, "Here I am, come and get me." The third day is not passive, but super aggressive, in that only the bold, the courageous, and the fearless will ever partake of its fullness and reality. The third day speaks of abundance, revelation, wisdom, knowledge, inspiration, power, miracles, signs, wonders, authority, favor, inheritance, revival, restoration, and what I like to call the beyond the veil experience. We have all heard the term an open heaven, and it is that, an open heaven, which best defines the third day. The third day is an unlimited experience with God that brings all its possessors into a tabernacle reality. The third day has a counterpart, another day that complements it, so that its potency is released with incredible force and passion. The counterpart is the seventh day. The seventh day is also filled with revelation concerning the times we are in. It speaks to us of rest, completion, and a finished work. We need to answer a question that may be arising in your heart right now, and that is, how do you know it is the third day and the seventh day? It's a great question. The answer is found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. "But, beloved, be not ignorant about this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." We know that we have crossed into a new millennium, the year 2000. We're right in the season. We also know that our Lord was born somewhere between 4 BC and 1 AD. Simply put, there have been 2,000 years since Jesus walked upon the earth, and this new millennium marks the third 1,000-year period of time, or the third day, according to Peter's revelation. 2,000 years is equal to 2 days. We have just entered into the third day. We're entering into it. I believe there's a birthing canal between the second day and the third day. We're coming to the very end of the second day into the prophetic third day. The same is true with the number seven. Adam was thrust out of the garden 6,000 years ago. And this new millennium marks the beginning of the seventh 1,000-year period of time, or the seventh day. If you will take the time to search and research the rabbinical thought about what I have just said, what the early church fathers had to say about it, along with the revealed knowledge in the book of Enoch and the book of Barnabas, you will discover that this is no new revelation. In fact, this understanding has been around from the beginning of time, as revealed in the first chapter of God's book, the Bible. Genesis reveals the pattern of God. He worked for 6 days and rested on the seventh day. I'll be spending more time on that as we go, but I want you to know right away that what you are reading is of no private interpretation or what you're hearing today, but has been the Holy Spirit's privilege to reveal it to whom he would throughout the history of man. I am glad that what has been revealed to me by the Spirit has roots and confirmations in God from the beginning of time. We are going to explore the book of Revelation and find that the number 7 is everywhere. And that book contains the pattern for the completion of the ages and the beginnings of a whole new world. It is time, my friend, to ascend to a new mountaintop and look out over the grand scenario of what lies ahead. And for those, as for those things that are past, they are exactly that, past. We are setting our sights on the here and now and what lies beyond, but is now in our reach. This generation, as you will see later, is a finalizing generation. This is the chosen generation who will attain to the fullness of Christ in every area of their lives. This is the generation of the upright who shall possess every promise of God and usher in the new age, the millennial age of Christ's rule in the earth. Be not afraid of the term new age, for it belongs to God. Let not that which men have stolen from God turn you away from the truth. It is time for you to take back what has been stolen. The promises belong to you as a believer in Jesus Christ. You are a Christian, and you should not be ashamed of that reality, nor should you be afraid to call yourself by that most holy name given to you by God. The time has come, dear friend, to mount up with wings as eagles and fly into the third heaven and partake of all those realities that have been reserved for you since the foundation of the earth. You are reading this book, or you're hearing it, for a reason. And I believe you are going to find your destiny within its pages. Are you ready? There is so much more to say, but now I will turn to the Word of God and begin to declare what the Spirit has revealed to the prophets through the Word. So come along as we journey together in the Scriptures for an inside look at what the Father has planned for us who live in the acceptable year of the Lord. And let us boldly go where no man has gone before. But there's a warning. In the following chapters, we're going to go verse by verse in order to reveal a mystery, a pattern that has been hidden and reserved for you, but is now being revealed by the Spirit of truth for the called out ones, the church, the ecclesia. As was said by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1:19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. There is no doubt that we are living in very dark times. And that darkness, according to the prophet Isaiah, is getting darker and darker, even unto a gross darkness. However, as the darkness is becoming gross upon the unredeemed nations, there is a glorious light that is shining and arising upon and within the hearts of the elect of God, the saints of God. So let us take heed to the Scriptures and the revelation they are bringing to us today, so that we may find our way along the path that is growing brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. Proverbs 4:18. Question. Have you ever sat on the sand by the ocean and looked out to the vast horizon that lies beyond uncountable miles of water and waves? Have you ever thought of what lies beneath those waters? After all, there are things beneath the sea that man has yet to discover. The ocean is a great example of what it means to be a pioneer and an explorer. I have sat many times at the shores of Southern California's most beautiful beaches, contemplating the greatness of the waters before me. I have often thought about the unsearchable riches that lie buried beneath the sea. It seems to me that there is another world beneath the waters, a world that consists of creatures that you and I have never seen or heard of before. As I sit looking out at the sea, I often have a vision of a man going out into the deep, finding great treasure, then bringing them back to shore for others to see. It is my belief that the waters that now cover the earth are reserved unto the new day, I believe it is possible in a natural way after the prophecy of Peter is fulfilled, wherein he states that the earth and all that is in it shall be burned with fire, and all the elements shall melt with fervent heat, that the waters will cover that which has been destroyed, and a new earth shall appear, an earth that has been hidden for thousands of years beneath the water that cover it now. We know that two-thirds of the earth is covered with water, and I believe that those two-thirds will one day be a new land rich with minerals and stones and rivers and valleys and mountains and deserts. I believe there are mysteries beneath the sea that must be discovered. Of course, there are many in the field of oceanography who apply their skill and desire to discover those things that are buried beneath the sea. Much research is done each year in the pursuit of greater knowledge of the landscape and design of the ocean floor, as well as the mysterious creatures and treasures. I want to ask you a question before I go on. Consider what you're hearing right now. Your walk with Jesus and my walk with Jesus, isn't there more to it than what we are familiar with? I mean, we're familiar with what we could see and feel and touch. We're familiar with the present level of knowledge that we have, but wouldn't you agree that there is a realm in the kingdom of God, a realm in the spirit, that there is so much more just waiting for us to go after and discover? Kind of like God saying, if you will search with me with all your heart, as for hidden treasure, I will be found of you. Remember? I want to ask you to check yourself right now, and I'll do the same thing. Do you have a burning desire and a willingness to leave behind what you think you know, what you already do know, to go after the greater things? Do you believe that there is more for you to discover? I do. And we need to find it now. We need to find the treasures of heaven, the treasures of the kingdom of God, the resources that are necessary for our moment. We need to understand the wise virgin's oil, what it really is. We need to understand how God will resource us right now with spiritual provision. In our present level, if we're accepting and that what we have is all we need, I don't think so. Let me give you another thought here. Another great example of exploration is when we look up into space. Ah, now there is a most invigorating and thought-provoking subject. All of us can look up at any time and know that there is something so far beyond our present position and range of openness that boggles the mind, known as the incredible universe. At night, we stare at the stars, and if in the right location, we can see what appears to be billions and billions of stars covering the face of the deep. How often have men looked up and wondered what lies beyond the know? How about you? Have you looked up lately and thought about the greatness of the universe and immensity of its size? Have you stopped for just a moment lately and considered the massive undertaking of going forth and searching out that incredible universe? I know I do. I often walk outside when I think things are tough and just look up. After a while, I walk back into my home with a new perspective that tells me whatever I'm facing at the moment cannot compare to that which is more powerful and much bigger than anything I've ever dreamed. I remember the day the Holy Spirit prompted me in my heart and told me that I was a pioneer. I remember studying many books on the pioneer movements throughout history, but there were none that so captivated my mind as did the space pioneers in the 1960s and 70s. I discovered the Saturn V rocket. The Saturn V was built and designed to burst through the radiation belt and to break through the gravitational pull that makes that which goes up most certainly come down. A team of men and women had labored to do what few in history had ever done. They worked on a ship that could withstand the heat belt, pressure, and gravity of the Earth's pull. while at the same time remain intact in order to explore what lies beyond our own atmosphere. The dimensions of the Saturn V rocket consisted of three rocket fuel canisters that contained enough fuel to cause the ship to engage in the most eventful journey in human history. At blastoff, the first canister of fuel would be ignited and lift the ship off the ground in order to begin the journey into space. After about 4 minutes, the second canister would ignite and the first disengaged from the ship. This second canister caused the speed of the ship to increase in just seconds. After about another 4 minutes, the third canister would ignite as the second disengaged from the ship. This final ignition caused the acceleration of the ship to reach speeds of up to 25,000 miles per hour. Imagine a ship aimed at space, traveling at 25,000 miles per hour, about to enter into the radiation belt just outside the atmosphere of our own planet. This radiation belt destroys anything that passes through it, that is, anything that is not designed to do so. The picture is dramatized as we see this glorious ship traveling at high speeds, breaking free of the gravity of Earth, entering into the radiation belt, and overcoming every obstacle in its way. The third canister caused the ship to travel at what was called escape velocity. I'm speaking to you about the answer to the times we're living in. Here is where I stand in awe. As I consider the picture of such an event, the violence of breaking through gravity and engaging the radiation belt with all its heat and pressure is amazing. All natural elements working at their maximum potential to destroy that ship and cause it to disintegrate within its grasp are now being challenged and overcome by something of greater design, a vessel prepared and made ready for such an event. The Saturn V rocket. You know the rest of the story. The Saturn V rocket succeeded and broke through into space. And as soon as it did, all the forces of nature had lost their control. And the ship began its exploration in the open and vast universe. The oceans and space are two examples of what I believe is taking place today. There is a vessel elect, chosen, and designed to go where no man has gone before. That vessel is the Church of Jesus Christ, the Ecclesia. I believe there is a realm in the Spirit that is awaiting our advancement into it. I believe that just as the Saturn V rocket broke free of the Earth's pull and the forces of nature, so there is a people that have been designed to break free of this world's pull and all the demonic powers that would do all they could to prevent their ascension. I believe that we are the pioneers of the new age, the age of righteousness and victory. I believe that we are going to discover God in a new and living way, a way that will force all our doubts, fears, and ignorance to be pushed aside so that we may discover the new reality within Him that has been reserved and waiting for our arrival. This is a high calling. We are that generation. We are the vessel that shall dive into the depths of the spiritual sea to explore and discover the unsearchable riches of Christ. We are a people that will make our way into the spiritual universe without any limitation, boundary, or gravitational pull. And finally, this is the day of rest. And as we make our way into that realm of spiritual space, we shall find that there are no weights or measures to overcome, but a freedom to move freely and at whatever speed we so desire. Yes, I am a pioneer, and I have been called to go where no man has gone before. And I am even now laboring to enter into that which lies beyond the veil of my own humanity and all that is natural. Will you go with me? Are you called to go where no man has gone before? Certainly, this journey is for those who have been called and anointed with the anointing of dissatisfaction. One cannot leave what is safe and satisfying and be put through incredible disciplines without possessing that anointing that calls for us to reach beyond the stars. This is our search. This is our journey. We have been called with a corporate calling to enter into realms that pass our understanding. The question is simple. Are you one of those who have been called? Are you seeking the greater things of God? Are you discontented with your present position and conditions? Is there a zeal locked up inside of you that urges you to push on in order that you may apprehend that which has apprehended you? Now is the time. We have a great pioneer who has gone before us all and has made the way already. And we must trust that he will guide us into all truth and experience that is rooted in him. Yes, we have a guide who has been commissioned to take us beyond what we know and are comfortable with. The question remains, are you ready to go? Have you had enough with the norm, the natural, and the predictable? Are you ready to release yourself from all that would hinder you in your pursuit? Can you sense the rush of divine destiny surging through your being as you consider the sense, the rush of being brought into your destination? If so, then let's go. Let's look to the pattern and design that will enable us to break through, as did the designers of that Saturn V rocket. The scriptures will show us the way, and the Spirit will reveal the mysteries to us within. Every explorer and pioneer must have at least a vision of the territory they are seeking to adventure into. So in the following chapters, I'm going to reveal the territory that you and I have been called to discover and conquer. The scriptures themselves will be the maps by which we will find our way into the final frontier, the territory that has been reserved for this hour, in this day, a territory we shall call the third day and the seventh day, which in all their fullness and meaning become the day of redemption. Let us consider this one thought before moving on. The Apostle Paul was taken into the third heaven. Whether he was in the body or not, he did not know, and it did not matter. What mattered was that he was caught up to the real of the spirit wherein he heard things impossible to utter. Let us be of this mind, account that God is able to do that which is impossible and is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could imagine and think. Are you ready? Here we go. Well, that's where I'm going to stop right there today. But did you hear the call? The answer to what's happening right now is our access to the spiritual realm of a spiritual dimension of God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, that when you're walking in the Spirit, you will not fail. When you're walking in that spiritual realm, the supernatural power of God is going to direct your life. I'm all in, folks. I've done my work on the earth. I'm preparing food and water and shelter and fellowship and friends to be in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. But I know there's another dimension that's going to create an atmosphere and a defense and a provision and a resource to me and my family and my loved ones. And I want to share this message. I want to balance it. The day of the Lord, the end times, the book of Revelation, and the third day and the seventh day, the day of redemption. I know it's real, and I believe it. I believe it's true. I believe it's true. Praise God and pass the ammunition. My heart is pounding right now because there are people out there that thought, oh, that ministry is doom and gloom. Man, that is so far from the truth. It's doom and gloom on one side of the day. But it's a glorious time for the saints of God who are going to follow the Holy Spirit into the realm of Christ, the dimension of the kingdom, the dimension of God, a supernatural, abundant blessing. But I've got to go. I'm so sorry I can't take any more calls today. I'll see you tomorrow right here on this radio station. Right now, Patricia Joy Xavier is hosting a roundtable discussion. You don't want to miss it on OmegaRadio.org. OmegaRadio.org, roundtable discussion. God bless everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Pastor Vince. Shalom.